Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
The internet used to be fun for independent creators, but has ruined itself through corporatization. This is not just about how AI has ruined everything. It's partially about the history of how AI came to be the tip of the iceberg in ruining everything after a decades-long series of bad decisions to make the internet not fun.
Ooh, so I'm gonna learn something today.
Maybe. But it's also a lot for me to vent about MySpace as an independent creator and just how it's... Yeah, just how the internet used to be more welcoming for independent creators. And now it's mostly just corporate slop everywhere. So... putting out a disclaimer, I'm not getting too into the weeds on anything, but just how it's all these decisions affect us as artists is really the main point. So I will say that I am probably one of those people who would have been pissed off during the Industrial Revolution. I would have been one of those people like, oh, machines are taking our jobs, it's bad. Most of us today wouldn't choose to return to a pre-industrial world.
No.
AI and the like is just a tool, and I don't even think it's all bad. I think it aids efficiency in certain business environments and helps us analyze things like scientific data to produce really cool stuff that would have taken us years or even decades to define without computer thinking. But it's bad for art and human expression. I don't think it has a place in artistic expression. On a previous episode of Close Up, I talked about how at the time I was okay in principle with using it to be a basis for starting things. Like, oh, give me some, like, generate some ideas I can work from. But I was never a proponent of generating entire things. And it's only gotten worse since we did that episode.
True, it's become more powerful.
It's become a lot more powerful. And even at the time when I said I was kind of okay with it, I never used it and haven't since.
No.
It's just, it didn't really hold an interest for me. But, I could go more down the weeds on Google, but really trying to keep a focus about artistic pursuits, I want to focus more on YouTube because I think that's where a lot of these things started going wrong, was when YouTube became a job for people. Going back to original YouTube, it was just a website where, like the early internet, people could post their silly things. Everybody had a page. It was very unpolished. It could be a random cat video. It could be just something you did that day, a lifestyle vlog, whatever. Oh, my trip to the zoo, I think, is still like the very first YouTube video. Or at least the first one that got a level of general prominence. Charlie bit my finger or whatever. Like, it was just life stuff. There was really no fanfare or production value behind these things. It was just people sharing some of their lives. Or maybe a little bit more intricate, getting creative. And then really creative people started thinking, oh, this is a platform for entertainment. I can create things. And by learning video editing software or music or script writing or, you know, whatever else you did, people used to get their friends together in their neighborhoods and do sketches and whatnot. Like, pretty much all the biggest YouTubers started off as just a couple of people in a very small scale environments, just in little neighborhoods across the world doing whatever they wanted to do. And that's what our earliest YouTube experience was like as well. Just getting together with our friends, making comedy sketches or playing video games or whatever we felt like doing at the time. And then YouTube started paying out. And this is where the big problem started, was, oh, you can make money doing this. And it was okay at first, because the people who just got a lot of views, we're getting compensated for that. And it's like, hey, great. You know, you put in legitimate effort for free. That's great. And
we're making money on advertising, so we're spreading the wealth.
Yeah, that's great.
There you go.
And to this day, a lot of the big channels, a lot of their biggest revenue sources is still from YouTube ads. It's just the fact that the partner program became more and more inaccessible as time went on. But for the people who got in early, it's still a great source of revenue if you've maintained that. But it's... then it kind of became this, like, Yukon Gold Rush sort of fervor in the artistic world of, whoa, you can make money doing this? And then all of a sudden, everybody started making YouTube videos less for stuff that they actually enjoyed and more for to try and please other people to get higher view rates and maybe become a partner program. This is like, I remember this was the era of the internet when like every other video had boobs in the thumbnail. It's like whatever to drive engagement, you know.
Whatever will do it. Whatever.
Yeah, you remember that era of YouTube,
boobs in
right?
The thumbnail. Yeah, it was pretty common.
Yeah, like you don't really see that anymore because the algorithms changed so much. But back then, it was like, wow, you can make money doing this. Well, how do I do that? Drive traffic, however possible. Clickbait. Like it's still
now I guess they can't do that because TikTok doesn't have like thumbnails.
Yeah. If you go to specific pages, you can kind of see like a featured image, I guess, but most people don't watch TikTok that way.
So the modern day equivalent of boobs in the thumbnail would be like boobs in the first like 3 seconds of the video and then it goes on to talk about something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the equivalent to that is like what we have now, where you have like snippets of movie trailers before the trailer starts. Because you don't watch movie trailers, I guess you wouldn't know that, but if you watch movie trailers on YouTube, the first 3 seconds are usually, oh, a really cool scene of the trailer, and the actual trailer starts.
What? Why?
They've been doing this for years now.
That's weird.
Because you're trying to entice people with something that's really, like, oh wow, my God. Something that grabs your attention. And then like trailers used to start potentially slower and like tell a story.
Ooh, it's a mystery. What is this movie? Is it going to be a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, and now they just like they give you a couple seconds of good stuff first before the actual trailer starts. Like in the trailer, it's painful.
That's oh god.
That's the modern equivalent of boobs in the thumbnail.
It's an even lower attention span.
Yeah, but going back to YouTube, so clickbait article, clickbait just becomes a thing. And the entertainment was still pretty creative a lot of the time, but it was a more conscious, oh, if we can make money doing this, we need to tailor it to be able to make money. And then after YouTube ad revenue and partner programs started getting more and more competitive to get into, you started seeing advertisers crop up on YouTube. People shilling for products. All the time. Raid Shadow Legends.
Play that. Let me pause this video to tell you about Raid. Yeah. Speaking of, we're going to pause this podcast right now.
Yeah. That was that era of YouTube where these people can't get into the partner program, but we can still sell ads. Or even the people who did get into the partner program still sold ads because...
double dipping.
Yeah, the people who couldn't get into YouTube, they sold ads. And the people who did get into YouTube, the advertisers wanted even more of them because they're like, oh yeah, no, you have a platform and you're going to tell a bunch of people to buy Raid Shadow Legends. Of course, we're going to sell to you. And that version of YouTube is still existing. And at this time, you and I were around in high school, still wide-eyed young youths, still making sketches in our backyards. And we're like, yeah, we're having fun doing this. It's good. And if it gets successful enough to make money, that's nice.
I made a whole 50 cents.
Yeah.
That I never got to cash out.
Because the bar raised.
Yeah.
And everyone wants a piece. And the problem we didn't really see at the time was that it was starting to get more corporate already.
Already, yeah.
These little... independent channels. Everybody had their own homepage. Like I said, all these little channels started conglomerating under corporate banners. You got, like, a very famous one is Defy, who owns Smosh and a lot of other big YouTubers. And when they finally went down and declared bankruptcy and basically just disappeared off the face of the earth and left all these channels ownerless, effectively, like a corporation just crumbled and then a whole financial structure was just gone overnight. And like that left a lot of people in the lurch. I'm skipping ahead a bit. That was kind of a massive consequence of later on. After all these corporations popped up on YouTube and started, you know, owning all these formerly independent channels and then creating a corporate structure. Sketches became, or just general YouTube content really, became less about the creativity of individuals and more content to satisfy a quota. People liked you because you were original and creative once, so I bought you out, and now you sell advertisements and release minimum one video a week to keep people's interest up because attention is fickle. And then they got greedier, and it wasn't just, oh, one video a week minimum isn't good enough. It's got to be a couple a week. And then some channels were up to every single day. And it worked for a while. You know, going back to high school, another example was like WatchMojo top 10 lists. Like, those were coming out every day. We watched those all the time back in high school. Everybody loved those for a very long time. They were consistent. They were big. They were popular. It was a good strategy for a while until people started burning out.
Well,
consumers and creators.
When they get to the point where they're like, top 10 WatchMojo top 10s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And speaking as creators, it was more a problem on the creator side. It was just like people couldn't keep up with the amount of content that advertisers and corporations wanted them to produce anymore. And then they started stepping back. And it was around the time that people really started burning out bad that other competitive platforms started propping up. Stuff like Vine in the early days of like, oh, this is totally different than YouTube. There's a gimmick. It's like, how creative can you be in 6 seconds? And then during the pandemic, TikTok sort of came in out of nowhere. And it was also, and all these platforms like YouTube started off very similarly in that they were creator driven. They were a lot of times actually creative. And then money got introduced into them and then they became corporate and sloppy and just a lot of low effort content to fill a niche, to generate views or revenue.
I think that's my problem with TikTok is that it was never, it was always a corporate thing from the get-go.
I don't think it was right away, but it got there way faster than YouTube.
They basically corporatized they cannibalized two companies and made a corporate entity out of it from a secondary party, basically.
Yeah, TikTok is basically the YouTube story in a couple years instead of a decade.
Yeah.
It got there really, really quickly. And then even worse, because they could only go up to a minute. So it was like, oh, well, now we need to pack everything in even tighter. YouTube, at least, never really mattered for time limits. But then, there was another problem when it came to time limits. Because with the abundance of ads, content started getting stretched from ideal lengths to excessively long and excessively short. You basically had to either have the TikTok attention span of it has to be a minute or less to entertain me. We get in, we get out. Or you have to have the YouTube attention span of like
a documentary length.
Yeah, of a documentary length video to say something you could have said in 10 minutes. And people were saying in 10 minutes a decade before. And that's because we start to get to that point of on TikTok, it's all about, once again, it's the content, it's the attention economy. It's I gotta hook you in fast with a trailer for the trailer before the trailer, and then play the trailer, and we're out in a minute because I showed you all the good stuff and only the good stuff, and then you're gone. And then on YouTube, and then you're watching ads in the middle, or people are giving more ads per video, or like, oh, okay, you know, my content was actually just a minute, and then the next 2 minutes is going to be advertisements. And then over on YouTube, people made lengthy videos so they could slot more ads in between. It wasn't just pre-roll ads or post-roll ads anymore. It's like, how many mid-roll ads can we get for a long video? And that's why YouTube videos are so long. It's because everyone's trying to maximize the ad revenue they get.
I think they get longer watch time because people fall asleep.
Yeah. That's why YouTube videos are like minimum half an hour now. When they used to, like, on average, over 10 years.
The shortest one you find now is 15 minutes. And that's like, oh, wow, that's really short.
Yes. That's why we basically go from shorts length to feature length. And there's not much in between.
Oh.
Whereas, I remember the peak of YouTube, where, like, back in high school, your average video was anywhere between 3 to 10 minutes. And those tended to be the sweet spot. If it was, like, a comedy sketch, it was 2 or 3 to 5 minutes. And then something like a Watch Mojo or something of, like a video essay, ooh, and those were more original. Those ones tended to go for 10 minutes. And that was like a 20-minute video was considered long back then. And it's like, wow, they must really have something to say if they went on for 20 minutes. Wow. Speaking of, we're at about 19 minutes on our clock. So.
We got to get to the 40-minute feature length.
Yes, to get the ad revenue.
Do we get ad revenue?
A little bit, no.
Wow.
Yep. So. All this has led us into a cesspool of content that, like, nobody's doing it for the creativity anymore. They're doing it for attention and for ad revenue, or because they got bought out by corporations, or because, like, we're in influencer culture now, where you're not making things.
When did that become a term? I feel like that was like
within the last decade,
something that came up in the downfall of everything.
Basically, I think the world started going like crumbling just in general around 2015. So I want to say it was after 2015 or somewhere in there, because like early YouTube never had any of that.
It was after Harambe died.
Somewhere in there where like content creators became influencers. The whole point of them is to be selling stuff. And also they create stuff that's like entertaining enough to get to the ads.
Yeah, that is a negative term, isn't it? Influencer. That's
the whole point, is I like you enough for whatever reason that corporations are paying me to sell you things.
Your job is to influence things.
That is what they do.
That is
their whole purpose. We are being paid by corporations to sell you things. Whether because, hey, maybe we're really beautiful people and we travel a lot and you like our pictures of travel, or like me doing makeup tutorials or whatever. So, okay, people really like me for that stuff. So corporations are going to influence, are going to pay me to talk about the places I'm going to, or the makeup that I'm using, or the makeup they're trying to make me sell to people. And that, we never got to that point as creators to call ourselves influencers. We've always been more about the art, the artistry of things. And you can see our stuff stretching back for about 15 years online, where you always see us just a couple years behind the trends. We were doing comedy sketches on YouTube when it was starting to get corporate and more about advertising. You can see us doing short films like before they were bigger. Like, I think they're a little bit bigger now, but it's still niche.
Mm-hmm.
And you could saw us doing that a long time ago. So we're like always before or after, but
we missed the sweet spots for the trends.
Yeah. It's partially also an age thing. We were like too young to be a part of peak YouTube, and we're too old to be a part of peak TikTok. Or at least to get it. Like, yes, I know a lot of people are in our age bracket are like more hip than we are. They picked up TikTok a lot faster. But also a lot of people in our age bracket, more of them I'd say, are like, we consumed it, but we couldn't follow the trends quick enough to stay on it. Like someone like Ryan tried for a long time, but he's like, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I think he just got tired of the runaround after a while. He just...
Following the trends constantly.
Yeah. It's exhausting. And that's part of the reason we're not as successful as we could be, is because we've never been trend chasers. We're always just doing the things we enjoy doing. The closest thing to trend chasing we did was stuff like water cooler conversations, which wasn't even a trend per se. It's just, hey, let's just do short form video because that's a thing.
It was a test.
And then we overcomplicated it, as we always do. And
because disposable media is supposed to be disposable. It should only take, like, I don't know.
Yeah, not very long.
If it takes you longer than the amount of minutes people are going to be watching it, then you've taken too much time.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be brainless content. And we put too much brain into it.
And we put too much brain into everything. And that's been a large problem of ours for most of the last decade. Is we can't find it in our hearts to make disposable content. Like, there are very few episodes of Close Up I would say are disposable, for example. There's been a couple, and they hurt me to make. But
they're not on purpose.
No, they just tend to be like the most topical ones that are like, well, are people going to talk about this again? I don't know. Sometimes it's a shot in the dark. Ones like this, I don't know. Like, this could be a time capsule episode that's still relevant in a couple years, or it could be like, wow, that was a flash in the pan in 2025. These were problems.
Remember when TikTok was huge?
But see, that's part of the point I'm trying to make here, is that the problems we have today didn't start with AI. I've been talking for a long time and I haven't even gotten to the AI of it all yet. But I guess now is a good time to bring up.
Teach me the AI, Joe.
Everything I just said, but now computers can do it.
Oh, wait. AI learned everything you just... AI learned from all the stuff that already happened. It learns on everything else, so it's... recycling the garbage of the last like 10 years that learned to make money on YouTube by manpower. Then they trained computers to do the same garbage.
Yes. So now we have a content laden artistic quote unquote internet where people are already putting out low effort slop on the regular, but now we have machines doing it for no time and no effort. So corporations get what they want. They get the low effort content, and people aren't actually devoting any time to making this stuff.
Can I make a counterpoint here?
Sure.
Now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't that mean if AI is making these slop videos, that people were already making slop videos, isn't that just proving that the garbage they make is so easy to make that a machine can do? Isn't it just like the Industrial Revolution? It's so easy to make that you're replaceable?
Yeah. You have sites like Sora, I believe it's called, which is basically just TikTok for AI videos. Let that sink in.
There's a whole site.
There's an entire site just for AI slop, and people are into it.
But that's what I'm seeing now, is that if everybody's just making this slop garbage, then what's the difference between AI putting out slop garbage too? You're obviously not putting that much intent into it, so obviously if the AI can do it just the same as you can, then Sucks to be you.
The counterpoint to the counterpoint, I'll say, is a lot of times, at least based on TikTok and YouTube, the trends I tend to see are somebody does something actually creative. It's like one video that's actually creative and then 10,000 videos copying that video and putting their own unique spin on it.
So, isn't that exactly what AI is doing?
It's
copying the genuine artistic stuff and making its own ununique slop version of it.
Yes. The way I consider AI, it's like making a dinner. The artist will go to a grocery store and they'll buy all these different ingredients. And they'll put in a labor of love to cook the ingredients and mix them together and make their chemical bonds and throw them in the oven and know how long to throw it in there to make it just so. And then they have a product. And it might be good, it might not be, but you put in a lot of effort for it. AI is like...
Well, I was going to say it's probably like when you get microwavable food instead. Where it's just a machine has sorted the ingredients in and you just put it in the microwave and it tastes like shit, but...
But you still say, I made that.
Look at that! Look at that! It's lasagna because it has the ingredients. It tastes kind of like lasagna, but the chef's lasagna with the same ingredients will taste 10 times better. Because most of those are just machines that sort ingredients, basically, and dump the right amount of ingredients in the package.
The chef buys a lot of raw ingredients, cooks a meal, and can proudly claim that's mine. The AI purchases ready-made microwave meals and says, I made that.
Oh, no.
I made dinner.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah. You had to put it in the microwave for 2 seconds, I guess.
Okay, but here's my point. Is that the creators online, most of them, are just making microwave dinner and going, I did it. So if the AI does the same thing and goes, I did it, what's the difference?
The difference is a robot's doing it versus a person, and the robot is controlled by corporations. It's like the money is just funneling directly to corporations now, where it... Where before it was funneling the uncreative people, which is a little better.
It's only microscopically better.
Every step gets worse.
All right.
Every step gets worse. At least creative people made money, and then uncreative people made money, and then corporations made money off of uncreative people, and now they're just cutting out the middlemen. Now corporations are just stealing original content to train their AIs and making money off that directly. So the most boring uncreative people are just cutting out the middlemen of normal uncreative people and stealing from creative people.
I just want to make the point that they're making garbage regardless. So maybe we should just quit consuming garbage content and then we wouldn't have this problem.
And I'll tell you what the other, well, yes, quit consuming garbage content is a good...
Why do you watch garbage content? I don't know.
But, well, that kind of leads into my point of the problem I have with AI is that it just makes everything so much harder. For the last decade, we've been trying to break into YouTube or filmmaking or whatever platforms or areas we've been trying to make it into. For so long. And we've always been competing against people. And there's always... A lot of these people have been just a lot better than us. Have a lot more experience or marketing know-how. Great. These people had skills. Or you have a lot of unskilled people who I say, okay, we're definitely better than. But they got lucky. They were a one-hit wonder. Knew how to capitalize on it. Whatever. Maybe that literally was it. Just they had one hit and we just haven't gotten our viral hit. Okay. But it's always been people who actually had to spend some amount of time making things, even if it was bad or very minimal. And now you have machines who can, as long as a data farm can support it, they can pump out this stuff all day.
Well, they just take up space.
Yeah, they.
I guess there's a total amount of like time watched over the course of everybody on the planet. There is a total amount every single day.
Yep.
It's not going to change by that much. Everybody's watching habits are pretty much the same when you go across, when you got that many people around the world. But if you're constantly pushing out this AI garbage, it's filling up that space. When we swipe, that's just taking you to some random video. They don't know. They think it. Maybe you're interested in this. Yeah. Well, it's taking up all that space. There's only so much that can be consumed. It's only possible to consume so much.
And that's partially what I'm getting at, is this is a continuing problem. When YouTube first started making money, you started getting the people in there who didn't really want to create art, but they're taking up the whatever space there was at the time just trying to make money. And these people weren't passionate artists. They, you know, a lot of them were grifters or people who could make a quick buck. And then that space started growing like crazy until you had a space saturated by people. And now you are already taking a saturated space and throwing machines into the mix that can pump stuff out all day long. So the competition, which was already fierce for attention online, is basically insurmountable now because machines, like you, it's hard enough to compete with people. Now you're competing with machines who never quit. It was already slop. Now it's constant. You can't get away from it.
Well, and it gets even worse. Like when you go to, right now, try to feed an image into an AI detector to prove that it's human or AI. Even if you know it's 100% human made, it's like, yeah, it's like 52% sure that it's human. So you're saying the degree that you know this is human is 2%. 2%? That's most things will land less than a 10% difference between human and AI.
Yep.
The AIs can't even tell the difference between, we can't tell it. The computers can't tell it. The AIs can't tell the difference.
It also doesn't help that, yeah, the AIs are getting a lot better. In the last couple years, they put out some genuinely impressive technology. I'm not going to say impressive art, but I will say the technology is like, okay, you're creating some lifelike computer-generated imagery now, or like music, which enough people consider good enough to listen to unironically, or art that's like, okay, that's interesting. We're like, they're starting to get good enough to be comparable to human artists, like mid to low level human artists. But they're starting to be competitive just in general. It's not a novelty anymore. It's an actual threat to artistic livelihoods. A couple years ago, it was just a novelty. Now it's, and they're still getting more powerful.
Yeah, because I was thinking about being like, oh, we should put the onus on people to stop consuming garbage content whatsoever. But what happens when the AIs are so good that,
well, that, yeah.
Like, it already is the case with images.
They're already producing mid-tier content. Like, they're getting better than garbage content. I shouldn't say getting better. They are. They've already advanced past that stage.
Yeah.
Yes, they're still generating slop for people just for, you know, keep the Roman bread and circuses going before the revolution happens and keep the population sated with their entertainment. But, artistic-wise, they're already starting to, like, it's unoriginal. It's all inspired and trained off of other people's art. And then people are actually training these machines. And, okay, so here's a big point for me. As a writer, in decades past, the way writers made money was, okay, I've got my passion project that I really hope will do well. But as a daily writer, most of the stuff I'm doing is content writing for people. I'm writing stuff for websites or in the old days, newspaper articles or whatnot, or technical manuals, or I write whatever people need me to write, whatever. And then I have my book or my passion or my movie script or something I really want that might make me a lot of money or get me clout. But that wasn't normal writing work as a writer. And I do consider myself a writer, but I'm becoming a writer in a world where all those jobs are computer generated. You don't really see random website articles anymore that aren't written by computers. Or if they aren't written by computers, they're written by writers who got those jobs a long time before I ever came on the scene. People who've had contacts and solidified enough work that they can keep working as writers of no clout or no name, with all the AI taking over. Like, how do you break in as a writer when the amount of jobs is basically nil compared to what it used to be? There was a big boom on the internet for a while where content was, like, everyone wanted their content. Like, yeah, wow, content writing is great, is a great way to make money now. And now machines have taken that all over. So, like, what's a writer to do for it? Like, you can't be a day job writer anymore. Up until a couple of years ago, you could be if you felt like taking a bit of an ego hit and just, like, doing the work for random things. It wasn't going to be the big movie script, but it was going to be something. You can't even get those jobs anymore. Unless you've been in the game a while and you were already doing them. So that was my dream, to be a day job writer, and I can't do that because of the way the world is. There's no space for me anymore.
If everything starts filling up with slop, I guess we'll have to... Everything will just start transitioning to a different type of art. Maybe we'll go back to, like, physical art. Like, people will start painting more and making statues and stuff like that instead. Instead of writing or all this digital stuff, we'll go back to, you know, people will start doing plays, although that'll touch into, you'll have AI written plays. Oh no.
Yep.
This isn't working.
And also, technology already has, like, AI actors. I think her name's Tilly. Something like that. She's the main one.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
Yeah. Like, they have full-on AI actors. So, you know, if holographic technology gets good, why not AI-written plays and holographic actors? We're not that far off technology-wise. But I do agree with you that in terms of future endeavors, more local performance will probably start being the norm. You're not going to listen to music on the internet or buy records as much anymore. You're going to probably go see live bands.
Well, if everything keeps being basically falsified, like it's all fake, then...
Yeah, go see somebody live then. Go see your live...
Maybe the main entertainment will be like AI gladiator fights. Now that's somewhere we can put AI, right?
Maybe.
Because it's not ethical to put humans and animals into it. But I think it's okay for AI until...
Until they gain sentience and then we're and just then having...
fight for rights or something. And we can't put Tilly in an AI battle? No?
I don't think she's sentient enough yet.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we could. But yeah, I think the abundance of all this stuff is going to start driving people off of the internet. Because at a certain point, like, the dead internet theory has already been floated for a long time now, and it's only getting worse. What is there on the internet for people anymore? You go on the internet, and entertainment-wise, it's a lot of... Once again, it's like 1 in 10,000 original videos, and the rest is AI being trained on that video to make look-alike slop, or it's uninspired people making slop. It's you go on Reddit and it's just arguments with bots over politics. It's
the worst is when, like, people have actually been able to prove some of the stuff where it's like, okay, I found a Reddit post from 6 years ago that's the exact same post, and then there's the exact same comments, different usernames and everything, but the exact same, down to a T, to promote other people. Then you've got the human users, the few and far between, that are commenting on that. They're just recycling stuff. They've been doing this for years, though, on the internet.
And now you have AI generation that is powerful enough to do it even bigger. Yeah. And it was already a problem.
Yeah.
Like, how much of the internet is just computers at this point? Between comment sections and AI videos. It would be interesting
to see what would happen to the internet if all bots just got killed. Like,
I think engagement. Just
kill them all for 5 minutes and let's see what the internet looks like.
I'm thinking human engagement is not as prevalent as we might think.
I don't think so. I think it's pretty low.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go as far as to say the internet is dead, like some people say, like, oh yeah, like, yeah, the internet's like the full dead internet theory. But I think it's a lot fewer people than you might assume. A lot of consumers. I think people are there to consume, but not so much there to engage and comment. Not as much anymore.
There's a lot of bots out there. Lots and lots and lots and lots. That's why I try not to spend as much time on the internet. Because it's being ruined. Well, it's always been ruined, I guess. But
Not always. Just in the last 10 years, it's gotten noticeably corporatized. Can you watch anything without seeing ads everywhere anymore? Go on a website, the whole page is filled with ads. You go on YouTube, it's 2 minutes of ads before a 2-minute video. You go on TikTok or random websites or Google even, you get ads on the first page of results. Everything is bought and paid for. It's all advertisements and bots. Effectively. So it's like, what am I creating for this space for? Why do I...
We live in a society that's all run on money. What did you expect would happen?
Yeah.
Everything's about money. And if it's not about money, it will be about money.
Yeah. So all this comes down to, as an artist, I figure, what's the point? I basically have no compulsion to create anything anymore. Creation as an act feels like a chore. I sit down at my laptop, and where I used to find a lot of joy in scripting or making comedy sketches or writing longer form novels or whatever else, I can't be bothered anymore. Besides our head-to-heads, I haven't written a word of fiction in a very long time. It's all I can do to do film reviews and edit close-up audios. And even that's like I just feel like I'm speaking into the void. I'm a drop in the ocean that's mostly like poison water. I'm a drop in a polluted ocean.
So is this your way of getting like keywords ready to be like, oh, the episode's going to be called Joe is Quitting the Internet or something?
Yeah, maybe. I have half a mind to. Part of me is like, well, what do we do this show? Why do I do film reviews? Why do I do anything? Like, who's watching? Like, is it just bots training themselves to be better? To, you know, stroke my own ego. Or, like, are people actually watching? Are they gonna watch? And if they do watch, are they gonna care? Or is it just gonna be a fly-by-night like everything else? If somebody finds us, is it gonna be, wow, the one time anyone actually saw anything and we were an afterthought. They forgot about us by the next video. That's like everything now. Like, I got into art to make an impact because I enjoyed entertaining people in real life and on the internet, friends and family. Like, it was just fun. But I don't feel like I'm impacting anybody now. I feel like I put in a lot of effort. I spend a lot of my nights at home editing this stuff and devoting a lot of my days around these pursuits that nobody really engages with. And it's incredibly disheartening. There's an entire world of real people and life to live out there that I'm not experiencing because I devote so much time to making entertainment that nobody's impacted by. It's painful.
So is this your way of saying that you're gonna quit the internet for like a month or something, and then there's gonna be no close up for like 4 weeks straight, and then you're gonna come back and be like, I have returned.
But I don't know. Maybe I will do that like December or something.
You should just record. Well, yeah, you could have like a December where there's gonna be.
Okay, but see, that's the trick.
You gotta prep some episodes in the can.
Well, we got some. Yeah,
let's put some in, and then throughout December, you're gonna record episodes of your own, logging your week of what it's been like without the internet entirely, week by week.
Yeah, but see, that's the catch 22, is trying to get away from all that. I'm still creating for the return. So it's still there. Like, even if I'm not participating in it, I'm still participating in it.
Dang it, I thought I had the answer.
Not like, I like where you're going, but also it's exactly the problem. I can't get off the internet without making a video about chronicling me off the internet as content. There's no corner of my life that's not content.
That's bad. Somebody in the comments, the one viewer who watches this, please tell Joe to get off the internet more.
Like, think about it. I watch, most of my time is spent either editing close-up or writing movie reviews or watching entertainment to be reviewed. I basically have no entertainment I consume that I don't talk about online at some point. There's very little for me, or because I think, or, you know, stuff that's more original or fictional for other people's inspiration or benefit, because I don't really feel inspired. And I don't think I'm going to be seen. I'm just in a very negative cycle of I got into art for a reason, and I'm not fulfilled anymore because the internet's become such a toxic place. And it was already getting there when we started, but there was still time to make it, like, we still had the time and opportunity to actually make it bigger when we started. There was a lot less competition and a lot less toxicity, and maybe my life would be very different if we'd hit it big in 2012, but it was a different time and we were a lot less skilled. And like, I just don't know if I have the drive to make it in today's internet economy. The way things
Who
are.
Does?
The bots.
The bots. That's it.
The bots have the drive.
Unkillable, never-ending drive to create content.
Yeah. But that's part of my problem, is I'm like, the things I do are very much internet-based. I can't very well do sketch comedies less. I can't really do sketch comedies live. I can't really do filmmaking live. Like, yeah, we have film festivals, and like, the most people who see our films are the ones who are watching them at those film festivals. And even they, to be frank, are a very snobbish crowd a lot of the time.
Fair.
They're either snobbish or egotistical, or basically just there to see their own stuff, which I don't blame them. I'm snobbish and egotistical, and I'm there to see my own stuff too. But it just feels disheartening that these are the people I watch with a lot of times. Like, I'm not, they aren't really for regular people. They're for other creators. I want regular people to see stuff. Not only playing to the artist crowd. That's how you get Oscar bait. Like, I don't want them to be my audience, but they're the only people I can get to be an audience with the stuff I do at this point.
What are you saying? Are you saying our audience here is entirely creative? Or are they bots? Or are they, what are you? Can somebody Somebody's got to speak up and tell us who our audience is.
Well, exactly. I don't even know because nobody engages.
They watch and listen, but they don't engage. They don't flame me in the comments like I want. It's not fair. I say some of the most controversial stuff on the internet. It's not fair.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who the audience is even for this show. I don't know who I'm reaching or if there's any impact whatsoever. If this show is making a positive impact or no impact whatsoever. I got no feedback. I'm just throwing stuff out and I'm getting no response ever.
You get numbers and that's it.
Yeah, and the numbers are disheartening too. It's like you were saying earlier. Put in as much effort as you think people are going to spend watching it. I think my time investment in general as a creator is a lot more than what people are actually watching.
Whoa. Only 4 people have to watch this podcast to make it worth it by that metric. If they watch the whole thing.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Fair.
Oh, wait. No. 5 people, because there's 2 of us for this hour.
Yep. Yeah, the internet is just... I've spent most of my creative life thinking about creativity in terms of how it relates to the internet. Because that used to be the place to reach the widest amount of people. But now that doesn't really seem to be the case. You're either reaching nobody or you might have to sell out to keep reaching big numbers at a consistent basis. Yeah, I know I'm being a bit of a downer this episode. I'm just venting about a lot of existential crises I'm having.
Don't worry, the bots will console you.
Maybe. Yeah, is there any other points I wanted to make with this? Yeah, I mean, stuff like AI is ultimately, it's a tool. But, and everyone having access to tools is good, but I think they're used for evil. More often than not, they're excuses for corporations to cut staff or, and they have a growing environmental impact with all these data farms, and they're creating ethical implications we as a species are not equipped to answer. We've pushed technology way too far.
Well, the internet's getting too big, too.
It's past the point of too big. It's too big and oversaturated.
Yeah. It's too big.
There's nowhere left to go. It used to be a place of untapped potential, and now it's just another place for corporations to push things on you. The way I see the future of the internet, I see it like in 10 to 15 years, I imagine the internet is a live service video game which hasn't seen support for a couple years.
Oh, God.
If you've ever been in one of those lobbies, just buggy, just messed up, just a couple of hackers who are like, wow, this place is not what it used to be. It's a ghost town.
That is a painful thought.
Yeah, that's how I see the internet. It'll be an unsupported video game lobby that used to be really popular. Yeah. It's just bots and a couple people there for nostalgia. Otherwise, I hope most of us are in the real world doing something.
Something useful. Or not, just enjoying life.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm ending up at the moment. Like, talking about all these negative thoughts, for the more positive side of it, the thing it's getting me thinking about is more, I just want to enjoy life a little bit more. And I think as an artist, life is the life is the thing we as artists are trying to mirror. And I think I spend so much time trying to create things and not enough time experiencing things that I'm doing what a lot of modern writers do and just holding up a mirror to the mirror. A lot of my experience with life is watching representations of life instead of actually living it. So I think I want to experience more of the world and get re-inspired and maybe do what writers for thousands of years managed to do before the internet and start writing for no-tech things again. Just, I don't know, maybe I'll start writing for theater instead of film, I don't know. Choose different mediums. Something that's less internet-based.
Right, for the newspaper.
Yeah, novels.
Save the newspaper.
The newspapers are gone.
Save it. You can save it. There's still like one or two.
That was my first job. It's gone. Oh. Okay, like technically it's still around, but it's gone.
There's still one or two.
The companies exist, but their distribution networks are...
Oh, it's all online now. Yeah, that's right.
I was in distribution. I was the guy who delivered the papers door to door. I did that for like 10 years.
Target. You know what? It's a very protected environment. Target children.
Right, for children's books?
Yeah. Yeah, don't take... Oh, God, that's going to get clipped, isn't it? Oh, man.
Target children.
Target children. No. That AI slop is staying away from children for the moment. We're trying to keep children not as stupid, like actual children, like little kids.
They finally figured out that too much screen time is bad for kids.
Yeah. So...
Because it messed up a whole generation. It took us a couple generations to be like, this is bad.
This is bad. Maybe kids shouldn't be on the internet.
Yeah.
Anyways, write for children and then you can go do book readings at a thing. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should do. Yep. But make some AI slop illustrations.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Is that oh my god, the future's gonna be actual print media that's AI slop.
I don't know, would the AI waste time on print media?
What do you mean? Will it make money?
I mean, print media by people died, so I don't know if print media by AI would do better.
What do you mean? People still buy books.
The market share is considerably less than it used to be.
Oh.
A lot of people who read are like on Kindles and like, yeah, or they buy used books. They go to used bookstores. Do people like buy new books? Not as often.
I guess I haven't bought an actual new book in a long time.
I buy new comic books and that's about it. And not even comic books. I buy the trade paperbacks a lot of times. Like, yeah, that's a medium, but like I haven't bought a novel in a while.
When was the last time you bought a children's book? Never.
No, because like children's books are bought by schools and parents. I am not a parent, so I haven't bought a children's book in my life. You just kind of happen upon them if you read them.
Oh.
You're like, oh, these are my old kids' books from 20 years ago. Or you like, I don't know, go to a school library for some non-creepy reason. As a 27-year-old with no kids.
No, this is going back to preying on children, Joe.
He's targeting children. This is the first time predatory.
You said going into school library for non-creepy reasons. That's it. We gotta call this episode here before it goes to the wrong places.
We're getting tired and existentially depressing.
Oh, man.
So, don't prey on children. Don't watch AI slop.
Yeah, don't consume AI slop or even human-made slop.
Just be discerning.
Consume. consume good content, maybe. I don't know. We can slow down the AIs and don't let Terminator win.
I think just based on how I'm feeling, I think just all art needs a break.
Actually, Terminator summarizes our thoughts very well. Don't prey on children and don't let the AI don't win. Let the AI.
Yeah, I think just all art needs a break. I need a break, but all art, AI, and human just needs to stop for a little bit and re-examine what it's become.
Somebody needs to go paint a ceiling or something.
Yeah. I guess that's partially how it's always been, hasn't it? Artists are paid by wealthy patrons to do things, but now wealthy patrons can pay machines to do things.
So doesn't that mean that it opens us up to be able to do whatever we want?
Theoretically, yeah.
Create real art. Stuff that nobody will see, but it'll be against society's morals or something, I don't know.
Is that what we have to do? We have to start making shock content. Just stuff that's like, this is
relatable shock content.
That's totally against society's morals.
It's against their outward morals, but inwardly they're like, yeah.
We have to become counterculture content.
Yeah. That's the only way, because AI will never do that because it's not profitable.
But you can't even target a counterculture anymore, because everything is wide open and simultaneously opposed. It's an equal and opposite reaction for
everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna find something.
Stay tuned for the next close up.
This will be somebody's first episode. They're like, what did I just listen to?
A bit of a thought spiral. So where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
And check out thoughtplane.ca for hundreds of written reviews and film posts for free. We hope to see you on the next close-up. Till next time.
Bye-bye.